And this is KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep, here with the latest information about Juneau's glacial outburst flooding event. The flood has started. Residents in the flood zone are advised to evacuate the area before tomorrow. This morning, the National Weather Service issued a flood warning and initial forecast of around 16.6 feet. Data indicates this will be a record-breaking flood. The Mendenhall Lake water level was 10.86 feet as of 3:45 p.m. Weather Service forecasts estimate it will reach a major flood stage Wednesday morning at around 9 a.m., with the peak expected late Wednesday afternoon. Forecasts are subject to change. The city and borough of Juneau is encouraging residents to evacuate the area, though it is not a mandatory evacuation order. Residents are advised to stay away from the river. An emergency evacuation shelter is available at Floyd Dryden Middle School. The shelter cannot accommodate pets. The city closed several facilities at noon today until further notice, including Diamond Park, the park's field house and aquatic center, the Mendenhall Valley Public Library, and all fields in the flood zone. The city will also close Back Loop Bridge tonight at 8:30 p.m. The Juneau School District is canceling all school-sponsored events today and tomorrow. It closed Kahtaguhin Elementary School, Mendenhall River Community School, and Thunder Mountain Middle School at 4 p.m. Buildings will remain closed until the city issues an all clear. The district will also decide whether to close all schools Thursday by tomorrow at noon. Juneau's annual glacial outburst flood started this morning and is expected to peak tomorrow afternoon. Experts predict it could be the largest flood on record. This year, the flood will test a temporary levee that the city installed. But not every street in the flood zone is protected by the barrier. KTOO's Alex Solomon visited View Drive, where residents say they are preparing for their homes to flood again.
As Malachi Thorington and Elizabeth Figgis pack their blue Chevy truck to stay at a friend's place, the sound of the rising river rushes behind their house. The first floor of their home flooded the past 2 years. Thorington says he knows the drill now.
Kind of dealing with the present at the moment, basically going into damage mitigation mode. Try not to feel anything, just try to go as mechanical as possible. There will be things that are lost, and I really hope that other people have taken this seriously.
The city and borough of Juneau issued an evacuation advisory Tuesday morning as glacial outburst floodwaters began to rise in Mendenhall River. Some residents are heeding the warning, but others are hunkering down at home. Everyone is waiting to see whether preparations made over the past year will protect their homes from a third catastrophic flood. At the end of View Drive, a colossal man-made berm separates Carol and Don Hamburger's house from the cold, rushing water. Walking along the berm, they see a young spruce on the other side of the river crash into the torrent.
Look at that tree coming down.
Along with a couple of neighbors, the Hamburgers spent the past month erecting the levee around their home of more than 20 years. The city constructed a separate temporary levee farther downriver.
We are trying to save our property. We are trying to save our equity.
Imagine 400 truckloads of boulders, rocks, and fine sand stacked around 12 feet high. The couple plans to stay home, even as the river is projected to reach a record-breaking level of 16.6 feet.
I was going to invite folks, but I don't want the liability.
At a press briefing Tuesday morning, Nicole Farron, the warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Juneau, said the river was unusually high because of the rain from the past few days.
This will be a new record based on all of the information that we have.
The city is encouraging residents to evacuate the area, but it's not a mandatory order. On Monday, the city hung nearly 900 informational door flyers in Mendenhall Valley neighborhoods in the flood zone and launched a flood information hotline. Residents can see whether their home is in the flood zone by visiting JunoFlood.com. Though city officials say they're confident the barriers will hold, they don't want people to test it with their lives. The area includes homes along the river, down Riverside Drive to Safeway, past Glacier Highway, and near the Juneau International Airport. Capital City Fire and Rescue Assistant Chief Sam Russell said emergency responses will become more difficult as the river rises. He asked residents to stay away from the river and bridges as much as possible.
As the flood goes up, our ability to navigate the waters goes down due to the debris that flows down through. It makes navigating the river with a boat very, very difficult.
At the Floyd Dryden campus, the American Red Cross is prepared to receive people who follow the evacuation advisory. Michael Downs is the Juneau District Ranger for the Tongass National Forest. He closed down the Forest Service campground on Mendenhall Lake this morning. The few RVs that were there are now parked at the campus. He said the Forest Service is also managing disaster tourism in the area, people wanting to get an in-person glimpse of the flooding. He says all lakeside trails and roads by the visitor center and near Skater's Cabin are closed. Anyone who violates that could face consequences.
And so this year we just did a forest order that they can be fined up to like $5,000. So got a little bit more teeth this year.
He says on top of being a safety concern, it's to protect the employees.
Their homes are impacted and they work there and people are oohing and aahing about their disaster, and it's yucky. So I prefer people don't come in there.
Floodwaters are expected to peak Wednesday afternoon and then drop through Thursday morning. With help from Clarice Larson, I'm Alex Solomon in Juneau.
Visit ktoo.org/flood for the latest updates. And the U.S. Coast Guard officially added the first icebreaker to its fleet in over 25 years during a ceremony on Sunday in Juneau, its future home port. The ship's commissioning signals an expanding U.S. military presence in the Arctic Ocean, but the icebreaker is also looking to overcome its past after a tumultuous maiden voyage more than a decade ago. KTOO's Alex Solomon was aboard the ship during a trip from the Auk Bay Ferry Terminal to downtown on Saturday, and has this story.
Down in the engine room of the Storis, U.S. Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander George Greendike is the engineer officer on board. He walks in narrow passageways between loud diesel engines that slowly thrust the ship through the placid waters of Stevens Passage.
We're getting to the point where we're pretty comfortable with pretty much with the majority of the ship's operations. Now we just need to get control of the things that pop up only every once in a while.
The Storis joins the Healy and the Polar Star as the third polar icebreaker that the U.S. military owns. You maybe saw the large red and white ship through the fog in Juneau over the weekend, but it was only here for a little while before heading north. Captain Corey Kearns said the icebreaker's mission over the next couple of months has two main purposes. One, assert U.S. sovereignty, and two, learn how to operate the ship, which is unlike any other in their fleet.
In this case, we need Arctic presence was the most important thing.
He says that the U.S. has failed to keep pace with other nations, including Russia and China, in building polar icebreakers capable of navigating the waters of the far north. So Congress made the Coast Guard buy this one from an American company, Edison Schust Offshore, for $125 million.
So we're willing to take some risk. Or forced into it because our shipbuilding projects are so behind, you know, to be honest.
The Storis had some issues in its past life. The ship was originally called AVIC and was built to support oil drilling in the Arctic. It famously lost control of a Shell oil rig off the coast of Kodiak during its maiden voyage in 2012. After the oil rig ran aground, government reports concluded there were issues with how the icebreaker was designed and with how the crew handled it in dangerous waters. One of the main issues was the location of the fuel vents. Seawater flowed into the vents and caused the diesel engines to fail. Kern says they've fixed the issue since.
So those were raised a little bit higher, which means you could take more water in vicinity of them before it would downflood. So not that it couldn't possibly happen again, but it's less likely.
In addition to raising the fuel vents, the other major changes to the ship were painting the hull red, installing military satellite communication systems, and adding an armory. And he says the crisis with the oil rig was also a result of how the crew made decisions at the time.
But if you're towing a 100,000-ton ship in like 40-foot seas, that's restricting the movement of your ship. It's no amount of design is going to save you from a bad situation.
Before getting a ride-along for press and families of the crew underway, the ship sat at Auk Bay Ferry Terminal. The voyage was delayed for around 2 hours. Kearns says a propeller malfunction was to blame, but it would be a quick fix once they got downtown.
But again, that's some of the growing pains of us learning.
They're learning from a civilian crew at Edison Schust, who are contracted to train the Coast Guard. Commander Philip Baxa, chief of the Coast Guard's Aids to Navigation and Ice Capabilities Division, helped negotiate the purchase of Storis. He says the ship's home port will be Juneau once the infrastructure is built.
It doesn't just stop at the waterfront with the pier. It's the warehouses and workshops for our maintainers, but it's also the housing units for the crew members and their families.
The recent Trump-signed funding bill allocated $300 million to build the port. Baxa says it will take around a decade and that building sites have not yet been decided. He expects roughly 100 crew members and maintenance workers will be stationed here. The ship is planning to visit Seward, Kodiak, and Dutch Harbor, then will head north through the Bering Strait over the next couple of months. Those port calls are subject to change. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And in Juneau right now, it's 66 degrees and sunny, and the sun is forecasted to hold up through Thursday, with highs in the upper 60s and 70s and lows in the mid-50s, though we do have clouds and rain in the forecast for this weekend. This is KTOO. Thanks for tuning in.